I want to just, as an introduction to what I want to say, speak a little bit about the teaching that says, you know, that the gospel of grace can be a license to sin. You know, grace cannot be a license to sin. It's impossible. Because if grace is a license to sin, then the Bible must read like this. And we beheld His glory full of license to sin and truth. Grace is not a license to sin. It's impossible for grace to be a license to sin. It can't be. It's like saying water is a fire. It's impossible. It cannot be. But there are scriptures that are used. And when you as leaders go back, maybe some of the people will confront you with these scriptures. And I would like to explain it so that you can answer. In Romans chapter 6 verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Now, when you read from chapter 3 about verse 20, it's really so beautiful. The whole chapter 4 speaking about faith and that we're not justified by our works, you know, but by simply we experiencing the justification when we believe. Then it comes in chapter 5. It's the beautiful about Jesus, and that through the obedience of one man, we are made righteous and not our own obedience. And then it's like an anticlimax in chapter 6, verse 1. You know, that's just like a breakdown of everything that we've just heard. And it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" So, and all of a sudden, it's like this thing that says, you know, you hear this freedom, you hear this liberty, you hear this everything, and then, yes, but remember. And all of a sudden, it's this thing that's just heavy in your heart. You know, and I've listened to many explanations. I've tried to explain it in many ways, but always when I read that, you know, it was like, yes, but God will work holiness in your life. You know, you're now going to live a holy life. It was like this thing of, okay, but now I still must believe this grace of God so much until I see this holiness in my life. And because of that now, you know, I can feel better. So make sure you believe this now until you get everything right. Making the final thing again the law and manifestation in this life. Where God, like I've explained, for you of you that weren't here when I explained this about the Sabbath, the Bible says on the sixth day, in 6 days He made everything. On the Sabbath, on the seventh day He rested. That word rested means Sabbath. In the Hebrew alphabet, if you interpret that according to the pictures that's assigned to every character, Sabbath means the glory that dwells upon the cross. The glory that dwells upon the cross. So glory means a view, an opinion, a mindset. So God's mind was dwelling upon the cross. That is His rest. When God is at rest is when He's mindful of the cross. And He didn't find His rest in the perfection of creation. But He found His rest in the cross of Jesus Christ. So, you know, we don't want to be at a place where we find our rest in the perfection that manifests in the walk of our life. Because even if you live by grace and you get everything right, that is not your license to peace. If the grace of God works everything in you, that you don't ever think one wrong thought or do one thing wrong, that cannot be your peace. And the way I saw chapter 6 verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" was almost this thing of shifting your peace now from the cross to the righteous manifestation. I'm not against righteous manifestation, but I can't find my peace there. Okay. And that's what I experienced when I read that. But let's look at this, and let's look at the what I believe the correct interpretation of the scripture is from verse 19, chapter 5, verse 19. It says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many." Now, that doesn't just mean many. It means the many, that very same many, okay, be made righteous. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. In other words, the law, it speaks about the in written format. It talks about given to Moses. It entered for what purpose? That the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, there's something profound there. It's the word abound. It says here that the law entered that sin might abound. So where does sin abound? Where do we see sin in our lives? Is when we are under the law. Paul said that, and we're going to look at Romans chapter 7 there, that sin finds its occasion or its opportunity, and now bad its translation, its license in the law. Okay? So the license to sin is the law message. Because God gave the law in written format so that people can sin and see their sin. So that the offense might abound. So the law message is your license to sin. So the law is not, the grace is not the license to sin. It's the only license unto holiness we have. Yeah. It's the only freedom that we have to a holy life. So here it says clearly, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. It talks about the abounding of the offense. Now let's skip verse 21. Let's go to chapter 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Where did the grace abound? Where sin abounded, where people were under the law. So he says, shall we continue in sin? In other words, under the law, that grace may abound. So this was just a furtherance of the explanation that he gave and what he pronounced in chapter 5, 3, 4, and 5. So this is not just bringing a little bit of a break and steering the thing in the right direction. This is enforcing what is already made, the statements he's already made. The statement he made was that through the obedience of one, you've made righteous. But why was the law then there? The law was there so that you could see your sinfulness. Now it says, shall we continue in sin? Now, so many times it's been preached as a re-implementation of the law. No. Shall we continue under the law that grace may abound? No, don't you know that the death that Christ died, he died on behalf of man so that every man that had a relationship with God on a law foundation, that law man has died. You see, I'm going to use the terminology, it just comes natural to me. When Adam sinned, it gave birth to a man that relates to God on the foundation of the law. It gave birth to man that related. Then God came in the likeness of sinful flesh, in that same likeness, and died in that man. So that man does not exist anymore. He's dead. So the law man has died. But there was a time when the law was given so that people could see that human flesh doesn't have any ability to be like God outside of God incarnating himself into human flesh. Man cannot. You know, I received a text message. You know, I preach on an Afrikaans station here. And I preach the things radically, you know. Say radical. And I had a 16-part series. I've made 16, I don't know where it's going to end, but just on the law, the origin of the law and how it's fulfilled. And we get people that are offending for the law. You know, they send these messages. And this morning I received another one and I just felt so pity for this guy. You know, because he would send me some nasty SMSs and then he, but I didn't answer him. And this guy, and I then sent one again. He says, my brother, I just want to say I'm sorry, I broke the law. And I was not under the law. Therefore, I didn't keep the law because I sent stuff to you that wasn't right. Sorry. But, and then gave scriptures that says we must do the law. You know, I just felt such a pity in my heart because he's in a cycle where he will never experience any life. He will, you know, I can SMS him right now and say to him and use that law to show his sinfulness and say, my brother, have you had a wrong thought about anybody today? And he will have to acknowledge that he is lawless the law is for the lawless, so they can see that they are lawless, that there is no law of life inside them. Hallelujah. I love the law, but this is the law, that God's life is in me and lives through me. That's the law by which we live. So are you under the law? Yes, I am under the law of Christ, the law of life. But I'm not under the law of the law that exposes my sin, the law that shows me that I don't have an ability. So here it clearly seen that chapter 6 verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, shall we still have a law mentality? We can actually read it this way. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in the law? God forbid. The word forbid there in the Greek means ceases something to exist, to cease to exist. It's not just to stop it. It ceases existence. And then it says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Why are we dead to sin? Because the law's been removed. Not because we try to stop to sin. But because the thing that aggravates sin in my life has been taken away. You know, I've got a little Jack Russell. And the house just next to me, the neighbor, they've got a boerboel there. Now, this Jack Russell, you know, and it's this prefab walls. You can just see a little bit like, I tell you, it's a little hole like that. And that Jack Russell will stand there. And he'll wait for that boerboel until he sees it. And then you will hear a lion inside this dog that wants to swallow that other dog with everything that's in it. You know, it's like dug a hole almost as it wants to. It forces its face against that wall to get through that little hole to eat that other dog. Do you know why that dog does that? Because it's a Jack Russell. That's why it does it. I can go and say, doggy, sit here. I want to give you 5 lessons in not desiring to... You know what? I'm going to waste my time. I'm going to waste my money. Because there's something inside that dog that makes that happen. It's been breeded like that. Been bred like that. You can't change it. That's the way that dog is. The only way for me to get that dog not to do that is to remove the dog on the other side. It's the only way. The only way for man to stop to sin was to take away the law. Because you cannot teach man to stop. It's impossible. Because that thing brings forth something that's in human flesh that will sin. And that's what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. Paul said, I was living a holy life. I was living a wonderful life. He says, but when the commandment came, sin revived and died. So when did sin revive? When he came under the law again. And when did he come under the law again? I believe it was when he mixed with some of the other apostles that walked with Jesus. That was still under the law, that tried to infiltrate law mentalities into his life. You go and read the book of Acts. I tell you, we so many times want to be like the first church in Jerusalem. I don't want to be like that church. They were so lawful. They were so full of the law. They were so full of judgment and condemnation and racism. I don't want to live like that. I don't desire that. You know, never. You know, they struggled with if somebody... They struggled to preach the gospel to somebody if he wasn't a Jew. That's being a babe. That's being unskilled in the word of righteousness. Not understanding that God was including the whole world in his sacrifice, thinking that God only included the Jewish nation or Israel. Imagine the shallowness of revelation, how shallow it is to understand what has happened upon the cross. That was in some of those guys. To the end, you can see to the end of their lives, as God worked in Paul the Apostle and sent writings to these other guys, and they started to get a revelation of what God revealed to Paul. It's really like that. Another scripture that is always also used is Jude. Let's go to Jude. Jude chapter 1. I just got one chapter. Verse. We're going to read from verse 3. Let's read from verse 2. These are the two main scriptures, Romans 6 and Jude, that is used, you know, and that people's got questions about when it comes to a license to sin. So I want to help you guys. Jude is not in the Old Testament. It's just a letter before Revelation. It says in verse 2, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Oh, isn't that beautiful? He didn't come to a place where he says, you've had enough now. He says, let it be multiplied. He says, beloved, when I... Now, why does he say this? Because there are people that come in that says, yeah, this is now grace. And the grace message is like, you know, I always think of a pie chart or of a cake. You know, you cut that cake into segments. And where, you know, you can find people that one day they preach law, the next day they preach the most wonderful grace message. Because they see the gospel as segments. You know, we get grace and mercy and the love of God. And then there'll be titles like the Father Heart of God. You know, and then next to it we get obedience. Then next to it we get holiness. Then we get righteousness. Then we get submission. Then we get spiritual warfare. Then we get sowing and reaping and tithing. And we get all these segments. And when the guy wants a year, you know, and you will find preachers so many times when they start a new church, they preach on the love of God because it draws people. And then they want to get them right. And they go over to all the other segments. We're not going to have segments. Because there is no segment in this gospel. There's no balance. The only balance is righteousness. There's not a balance between the law and grace. There's no balance. We are in Christ balanced. Yeah. Amen. Is Christ's life balanced? Yes. We are in that balance. Amen. So we are not having this segments. So please, you know, you can go home and you can take this and say, well, this was an awesome time in my life. And I'm going home and I'm going to preach this, but there's some other realities. What about spiritual warfare? What about witchcraft? You know, there was a time when I spoke to somebody that was in spiritual warfare. And he said to me, and I also did that, you know, bind devils over towns and do all those things. You anoint everything with oil. I tell you, my brother, it's so greasy. You know, we do these things. And I was with this one guy and he said to me, you know, we must walk around the town 3 times or 4 times. And it was like a big township, you know. And we walk around this and we're going to pray and whatever. And we were walking and we were praying. And you know what I got, what I realized? That is not spiritual warfare. That's exercise. That's not spiritual warfare. And we were mistaken. You know, we mistaken spiritual warfare and exercise. You know, so we were exercising. I was so tired. All I got was blisters, my brother. It was a big township. You know, and afterwards I realized, listen, man. And when I got this revelation, I said to people, listen, what you do? Let's test the system. You go and do spiritual warfare over that township over there. And you pray and bind and loose. And I will go in here and I'll share the gospel from house to house. And at the end of the day, we see who's got the most people believing in Jesus. You get 100,000 people interceding for that. I'll go alone with nobody praying for me. And I'll go and share the gospel with C. The way you bind the spirit of alcohol over a place is like this. You preach the gospel until people believe who they are in Christ Jesus. Until they've come to their true identity and understanding what Christ has done for them. And there's no desire for drinking anymore. Because they've found the true thing, the true life inside them, and they don't drink anymore. Preach the gospel. That's what we do. So this whole segment thing, you know, forget about that. It's just the gospel. That's all there is. It says in verse 3, it says, beloved, when I gave all Listen to this. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. What is the faith? It's the persuasion of what Christ has done, which was once delivered unto me. For there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Okay? They are law, under the law. Ungodly men. If you are ordained unto condemnation, this is condemnation. That they love darkness more than light. What is darkness? It's the law system. That's what it is. Amen. That's what darkness is. We always think darkness is just demons and those type of things. No. What is the manifestation? Like I said, who implemented the mentality in the beginning that says, I am not, I must become? It comes from Satan, which speaks of darkness, which speaks of Lucifer, which speaks of, which was the king of... No. Ach, oh, man. Babylon. Babylon. It was the king of Babylon. Babylon speaks of Sodom, speaks of Egypt, speaks of Jerusalem, where the Lord of glory was crucified. The enemies of grace. That's what it speaks of. So the law must, when you see darkness, when you see evil, you must also think of this law system. You know, because that's the way in which it manifests in this world. The only hold that Satan can have in your life is by getting you under a mentality that says, I am not, I must become. If you want Satan to have a hold on your life and your finances, be in a place where you say, I must become rich. Because it says those people fall into temptation and a snare. Because that's the snare of Satan. Okay, right. Of old ordained unto this condemnation. So who's he talking of? People that's under condemnation, which is under the law system, ungodly men. It doesn't speak of godly men. It speaks of ungodly men. Turning the grace of our God into licentiousness is the original Greek word there, which in Greek literally means a license to sin. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's not talking of us. That's not talking of us. It talks about people that preaches and says, watch out, grace is a license to sin. That's who it talks about. It doesn't talk about us. We are not under condemnation. We are saying there's no condemnation. Okay? We are saying mercy be multiplied. Love be multiplied. We are talking about this common salvation. We are talking about, like Paul says here, we're talking about faith. And then there were certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained unto this condemnation. The Bible before of old spoke already that there will be people that will be condemned for not being willing to receive what God has given to them freely. Okay, so it doesn't talk about believers. It doesn't talk about people that is walking in a relationship with God. He talks about people who hates the gospel of grace. That's what he talked about, that crept in unaware. And what are they preaching? They are preaching and saying, man, you know, grace is a license to sin. So that is the explanation of that scripture. You know, so never see yourself, never be under the condemnation. When, you know, grace preachers, you know, they are leaning towards a license to sin. You know, if I would fall into sin today, everybody would say, you know, it's the grace message. But if a guy under the law falls in sin, they say, this bad, wicked guy. They don't say, well, it's the law. Well, it's my church system. Well, it's what I preach that caused this man to sin. No, it's him, he's bad. But if a grace guy does something wrong, it's the grace message. Hallelujah. The Bible says clearly in Acts 13 verse 38, when it talks about grace, it clearly says there, it says, watch out that this prophecy is not fulfilled in you that says you despise us. You marveled and never believed. Because there will be those that will despise the gospel. Let me tell you something, and they are not the sinner out there. the law preachers. And I don't want to have a go at people. You know, when I want to honestly say in my heart, when I see somebody preaching the law, fending with the law with great passion, I feel like the Apostle Paul that says, you know, I feel for them. And my desire is that they might be saved. Yes. That's what Paul said. My desire is they might be saved. What does that saved mean? Saved from that law that they're under. Hallelujah. He says, for I acknowledge that they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. Yeah. And I see that passion for God, you know. And it's like Jesus crying, saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Like a hen gathers chicks, I want to gather you, but you were not willing. I want to tell you something. God doesn't have the ability to gather you above your will. Yeah. There Jesus said it clearly. I want to gather you. Now what he was actually saying there is, I've gathered you in Christ, but you're not willing to believe it. That's what he's actually saying. Because he died for the sin of them as well. When he died as a lawman, that lawman that was there not willing to come has already died. But they're not willing to believe it. That's it. Hallelujah. So what is it saying here? There are those people that preach as license to sin. And for those of those people that watch it by the internet, I want to say to you, maybe you're a law preacher that is logged in. I'm not against you. I'm not against you. I'm not against a person. But my heart desires that you might be set free. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to badmouth people. Please, don't go and fight your own people, you know, that has also done some good. When you go back, don't fight other preachers. That's not what we do from the pulpit. You know, but we can speak out straight and not be ashamed of the gospel and say what brings life and what is not life. Amen. Hallelujah. So there are those that say, you know, this grace message is a license to sin. They are called wicked. They are called, what are they called here? Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, it says, for there are certain men crept in unaware who are under this condemnation. They are ungodly men, turning the grace of God into a license to sin. Are we turning grace into a license to sin? No. The other people saying grace is a license to sin. Well, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Genesis 3 quickly. And there's another thing I want to just mention here. You know, when it comes to the gospel of grace, we mustn't be afraid of the teaching of faith. Because faith is not a work. It's not a work. That's it. It's something that grows in you. It's a fruit. Of hearing the gospel. Let me tell you something. God, where He is today, He speaks things as though they are not. He's a believer. One of the most powerful things that can manifest in your life is emotions and feelings that comes from believing something, being persuaded about something. God did everything He did because He was persuaded of your value. And that's the word faith, persuasion. Now what happens is because people of old has made faith this law. You know, under the faith movement. You know, you must have faith and faith became your God. Now, we are afraid of the gospel of the message of faith. Don't be afraid of faith. I want to tell it to your friend. It's something you can't live without. It's something you never want to be without. Because it's so natural to you. It's part of your godliness. I tell you, you've been redeemed to believe. Under the old covenant, you couldn't believe. It was a system of works. But Jesus Christ had a complete redemption so that you can stand in a place where you say, I can live by persuasion again. Because I had under the old covenant nothing to be persuaded about. But now I've got something to be persuaded about. Where faith was dead under the law, now it's alive. In Jesus Christ. And where men never had the emotion and the power to know what it is to have faith, now we can have it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you, you know, never never settle for this gospel that says, ah, well, you don't have to have any faith. You know, God's done it all. Man, that's cursed. That's cursed. It's not a complete redemption. I've been redeemed to be like God. And He is a believer. He believes in you. He believes in me. The Bible says love believes all things. Amen. And we're not settling for anything less. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my God. You know, listen. I want to tell you, when it comes to the salvation plan of God, it is a complete plan. It's like I said, if I can't believe in my wife, if I can't be persuaded of her beauty, we don't have any relationship. What makes me in the image of God is the fact that I can believe in somebody. The fact that I can feel love. That's why people in the Old Testament were still in the image of God. Because they still had the ability to believe. They had the ability to love. They had the ability to be persuaded. A dog doesn't have that. A bird doesn't have that. A bird can't believe in you. It doesn't know what it is. But man has got that. That's why man, even in his fallen state, were in the image of God. For he had the same abilities as God. But the only thing is he was empty. Because what was there to believe? What was there to rest your mind in? Nothing. And because God is not going to say, well, rest your mind in something that has not manifested, that is real. And He came and He became real human flesh for us. Amen. So that this person that's in the image of God can experience the likeness of God. For we are in the image and likeness of God. Hallelujah. It doesn't help. We only boast in the image of God. Fullness is image and likeness of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for a complete redemption. That we can today, you know, today we can stand and say, as He is, so are we. Now, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So never be afraid. And please don't make a law out of faith. That's also a wicked thing. You know, that's evil. Yeah, you know, work up this faith. Just say it again. Say it again. Let me tell you something. I'm going to die in 5 seconds of a heart attack in front of all of you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Didn't work. Well, my brother, whatever you confess, that's what's going to happen to you. I told you I'm going to die 5 seconds, 20 seconds ago. Well, God's just merciful to you. Exactly. Hallelujah. I don't live by that system anymore. I don't just confess and confess and confess, then I get. If I get by just confessing, 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 then I get, it doesn't even mean anything. Just born, if somebody heard you say something so many times that they actually just give you that thing to keep you, get you quiet. If I just confess enough, you know what the word, the Bible says you'll do account for every idle word you say. Do you know what an idle word is? It's a word that is said without faith behind it. That's an idle word, an empty word. Nothing, no faith, only the word. So here, what you're actually believing is that it's not going to go well with me, but now all you do is you confess, it's going well, it's going well, it's going well. You'll do account for every idle word, my friend. That's empty words. You can confess until you're blue in the face, it's not going to do anything to you. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Hallelujah. You know, Afrikaans language is a very negative language in certain areas. Dis vrek lekker. Doodmoeg. You know what it means? It's we say it's death nice. If we say something's very nice, we say it's dying nice. Huh?
Dying to sin nice.
I mean, it's negative, man. How can you say that? And then you get teaching that says you must get your mouth right. And now you want to change your whole culture and everything that you've been programmed for 40 years and you don't get it right. And now all of a sudden, through that other teaching that just said if you say something wrong, it's going to happen to you. You believe it and now you say the wrong thing. Now you start to see these things. You say, oh, it works. Listen, man, if I say it's dying nice, I'm meaning it's very nice. That's what I mean. I believe in my heart, it's very nice. The way I say it is, it's dying nice. But what I believe is what happens. So it is very nice. We've made so many charismatic rules and laws. Genesis 3, when we look at the law, how much time is there left, Vessel? 25 minutes. Wonderful. It says in, let's just look at the law system here in chapter 3, verse 5, verse 6. It says there, and when the woman saw that it was good for food, and that it was pleasant for the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of it. So what was seen in this law? And it was simple. It was good for food, pleasant for the eye, and desirable to make one wise. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Does anybody have a message translation here? Yeah. Oh, bless God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23. Now just look at the resemblance between what Paul quotes here in Colossians 2 and what happened in Genesis 3. Let's go to verse 18. Colossians 2 verse 18. It says, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worship of angels. Now, what I see the worship of angels there is that the law was ministered to people by angels. And they came with the worship of what angels brought, which was the law system, messengers of the law. Okay? By worshiping that, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So what happens is let nobody come and beguile you full of his fleshly mind. What is a fleshly mind? A fleshly mind is a lawful mind, a law-based mind, a works-orientated mind, a mind that says, I am not, I become, and I am so holy because I try so hard, and he's so puffed up in his mind that he wants to administer these things to you. He says, don't let that person beguile you of your reward, and not holding the head. Okay, so what he's saying is there are people where the foundation of their ministry is not Christ, but the law and man's ability to live right and do right, from which all the body, this is now Jesus, the head, from which all the body joined and band, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increase with the increase of God. So let me tell you something. If you see that there's an area of your life where you need increase, don't go to the law now. The grace of God increases you. And I'm not talking about in the spirit and who we are in the reflection of God. I'm talking about manifestation. Yeah. Whose phone is that? Oh, okay. I thought it's my wife's. Are you smiling? So I thought it was yours. So, I mean, if you see, but listen, man, there must be an increase in my finances. There must be an increase in my manifestation of holiness. We're talking about manifestation now. There must be an increase in joy in my marriage. You're talking about real stuff. Now, listen, don't let somebody beguile you that comes with a law mind to get you to the steps on how to change that. He says, listen, through this body that we have here, how we nourish and feed each other on this gospel of grace, God increases with the increase of God in your life. So don't, when you come and see a shortcoming in manifestation, fall to the law again. Right, that's what he says. He says, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, if you are dead with Christ from the basic principles of this world, I'm dead with Christ from every basic principle in this world. Okay, every law. That rudiments means basic principles or laws. With Christ, I'm dead to that in the world. Why, as living in the world, in other words, why are you worldly? And subject to laws like touch not, taste not, handle not. Which are all to perish with the using of the commandments and doctrines of God? No, of men. Hallelujah. Okay. Now that speaks also of the stuff that Moses said, you know, sacrifice like this, that, whatever. But they also preach the Ten Commandments. Don't let anybody tell you they didn't preach the Ten Commandments. Right, verse 23. Which things have indeed... Now, look at the law and what Eve saw in the garden. Which things indeed have a show of wisdom in humility. A show of wisdom in will worship. Will worship. It's got a very good show in will worship. In other words, I must use my willpower. And there's a Greek word there for that. I can't remember. Dishel, can you remember what that will worship is? Man, there was a... I will say it whenever. Tomorrow, whenever we can mention that maybe. In will worship, there's a show of will worship. It looks so beautiful in the show of will worship. By my willpower, I'll worship God. It says, the law looks beautiful if you can apply your willpower to it. It says, and it looks humble and in neglect of the body. You know, so it neglects, you know, the body and the things the body want. It looks so right, just like Eve, desirable to make one wise. It can feed me. It can do all the things that must be done. But it says it's not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. It can never satisfy you. And that is exactly what Adam and Eve sat with in the beginning. That same thing of will worship. We're not going to sit with will worship. Amen. We're not going to sit with that. That's not God's intent for man. I want to just get that message quickly and read a scripture. Thank you so much. Listen to Paul's attitude in according to the message here in Galatians. Galatians chapter 2 from verse 19. But your Bible will not say it like this. Just hear this translation of the Bible here. He talks about, he says this, have some of you noticed, now we're talking about the manifested man here. Listen to this. Now please don't feel this is contradicting everything you've heard, but listen just to what happens here. He says, have any one of you noticed that we are not perfect yet? No great surprise, right? I'm not talking about my perfection in God. I'm talking about my perfection in this body. Have you noticed you've got gray hair? Have you noticed that... what I've noticed is that there's times in my life, like what Paul said, where he fell back under the law. It can happen. There's a possibility for that. Okay? And there's a perfection that's coming to human flesh. Now, I don't know if you... We can debate about this, but I believe that in your human flesh, you're not perfected yet. Your human flesh doesn't look like Jesus Christ right now. You can't walk through this wall. You can't fly wherever you want at free will right now. If you can't do it, let me see.
I believe you can do it in your thoughts.
In your thoughts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about the human flesh. I'm not talking about the thoughts now. I'm talking about physical human flesh. In the spirit, you can go wherever you want. Because if God's there, I'm there. You know, so if I pray for somebody that's on the other side of the world, I see him in front of me. I don't pray from here to there. He's there. He's here. I can see him in the spirit. I lay my hands upon him. The power of God goes into him. But your body, my friend. Talking about your physical body. Go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go and study it out. You know, it talks about the physical body. And this is what he was talking about here. He says, listen to this. He says, what actually took place is this. Or he talks about something that went wrong in his life here. He says, no great surprise. And are we, listen to this, and are you ready to make the accusation that since people like me, who go through Christ in order to get things right with God, aren't perfect, virtuous, Christ must therefore be the accessory to sin? The accusation is frivolous. If I was trying to be good, I would be rebuilding that same old barn that I've torn down. I'll be acting as a charlatan. Now what he's saying here is, he said, listen, if you see something wrong in my life, don't say, look what Christ has produced in him. He says, I've been rebuilding the old barn. I'm getting back under the law system and under this once mentality that's producing this now. This is not Christ's doing in my life. It's my own doing in my life. So in Christ there's perfection in manifestation. But if you go back under the law system, you're going to experience that same death, my friend. You see people, they go to a crusade, they put up their hands, they receive Jesus. You've seen that. Then they live holy for 2 months. And then they backslide. Because of the law you've been preaching to them. That's why. They get a law mindset again. All of a sudden, all that old mindset that they were under the I must become mentality is just preached in a new package to them. It's still the old wineskin. Given the law system, and people see that same death coming to their life because they cannot through the law identify with who they truly are in Christ Jesus. Because only through a belief in who you truly are do you see that manifestation of Christ. Now listen to what Paul talks about here. He says here, what actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. So what he's saying here is, the manifestation of what is not good comes directly out of the law. When I look at my life, and I look at things in my life, and I see over here, man, I'm shouting at my wife. Or I do something that is not edifying. Yeah. Now I know you never do that, but I do it sometimes. When I see that thing happening, I remember I was sitting next to the road in Zimbabwe. My car broke down. I was struggling for about 2 months. Never a day without struggle. And I came and I sat down and I took the wheel off because there was a noise in it. And when I took it off, I saw the wheel bearing fall into pieces in the middle of nowhere. And I started swearing. And then there was a man next to me that said, I thought you were a pastor. Then I felt like killing. I haven't sinned towards you, my brother. So, I mean, imagine. All of a sudden, here he comes. All that he's done, he just drove with me and come back. Everything went well while he was there. But he hasn't been part of my suffering. And here I come and I see that outburst of wrath, which the Bible calls a fruit of the flesh, which is a fruit of being under the law. And when I see that, I say, Lord, surely in my mindset, there's things where I see myself under the law. And I haven't seen your unconditional love for me. I can see that. And whenever I would do something wrong, I would be encouraged. Because I knew there's just more of God's unconditional love that He's going to reveal to me when I start to speak to Him. So when I went into confession, I didn't go into confessing my sin. I go into seeing the revelation of who I am in that area of my life. So that Christ can live there. Hallelujah. Batty, do you sometimes get angry? Never. It can happen. It can happen to you. It can happen to anybody. Get under the law. Let me tell you somebody. Anybody can do anything under the right circumstances. If Paul could live a holy life, free from condemnation, not even conscious of any sin, and all of a sudden have the sin of lust in his life. The Bible says that the law worked all manner of concupiscence in him. Do you know what that means? That means the most evil desires of lust in all areas, in the holy apostle Paul. Because that's what the law produces. And that was why Satan wanted to implement that system in the beginning. Because he knew that man would start to live a life that destroys him. Because that will manifest his emptiness without God. For Satan knew how empty man would be without God. He would just be a shell. No life. And if you take the life out of him, and you say to this death, the shell, if you just say to the shell, be like God. All you're going to see is how it is not like God without God. That's all you're going to see. And then he knew that he could deceive people and kill people like that. For he was a murderer from the beginning and a liar from the beginning. Because the lie that he told was that you can be like God by your works. You cannot be like God by your works. You cannot have any holiness by your works. It's impossible. And he implemented that thing. And we can even see the effects of that today when we believe in that old system. But thank God that we have no condemnation. You know, that this is so wonderful. This is so wonderful. Even if I do something wrong, even if there's an area where I experience the law again, like Matthew 23 says, even if I walk in the shadow of death, I go through the valley of the shadow of death, even if I experience the condemnation that the law says, I shall fear no evil. Because of the person of God. Hallelujah. Because the covenant that we are in is not a covenant between me and God, but between Jesus and the Father. That's an unbreakable covenant. So even if I go back into the law, it doesn't reverse my stand before God. But it can have a manifestation in this life that's not pleasant. But it doesn't change who I am. Hallelujah. Who can bring in any accusation against the elect of God? Can even God? I want to tell you, I like the Afrikaans word, it's God se moontlik. It's impossible for God to bring in any accusation against me, for God has justified me. God has to go against God to find any fault in me. For we've been made just. So I want to tell you, the law has lost all its power. It hasn't got power against you anymore. Hallelujah. Shall we continue under the law to see that we don't have the ability by our own power to be righteous? No. We know that by now. And Jesus Christ died as a lawman under the law, so that the death that he died, that we can now be married to another. Christ. Amen. I think that's a good place to end this off. Let's go to Romans 7. Oh, Galatians 4 is also so beautiful. Romans 7. I tell you, when I got this revelation on faith, you know, and that faith is part of the nature of God in me. That I've been redeemed for the first, you know, in Christ. And I came to the thing that I don't try to faith this to get God or anything like that. But that I've been redeemed unto it. I tell you, I said, God, tell me anything. I just want to believe. Oh, just show me more of you for this faith receptor. You know, I'm full of it. Hallelujah. It's beautiful, man. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 7. It says, know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as what he lives. For the man who has, listen to this, for the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as what the husband is alive. But if the husband has died, She's loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no more an adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. He died as a man under the law, so that there, and oh, representing all of man, so that there's no man in the eyes of God under the law anymore. God doesn't have a law relationship with any person, the greatest sinner. He doesn't. It's all in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Now listen to this. If the husband dies, say the husband goes and he works in Nigeria and the wife is here and the husband dies. Do you know what? That wife is still wearing the ring. She's got no knowledge of the death of her husband. She'll stay faithful to that husband as long as what she thinks he's alive. And she'll be committed to him. She will not marry another. She will feel that I am in adultery if another man comes. She'll rebuke every thought of love towards another man because she wants to stay faithful to this man. In the same way, I see when people are married to the law in their minds, even the lawman has died in Christ already. Whenever there's this feeling of, listen, you don't need any law, they rebuke it because of their commitment towards the law, because they feel that I will be in adultery if I'm married to the law. If I'm married to another man. It's what they feel. They feel, no, this is sin. They will fight it with their very being because of the goodness that's inside them to stay committed. Because they feel that they stand for holiness. They stand for purity. They're not going to be in adultery. Because under the old covenant system, you couldn't believe this. It would have been seen as adultery. Breaking away from the law. Jesus didn't come to break the law, but to fulfill the law so that we, and then die under the law, so that we, and be raised again, so that we can be married to another man. Freely. Amen. And now we are one with Him. And His seed is in us. And His seed is bearing fruit in us. Amen. So let me tell you something. You will go home. You will go to your church. You'll preach the gospel. There might be people that say, man, I still feel married to the law. They will feel as if it's adultery. But you know what's the reality of the thing? Is if you're in the law, you're actually in adultery. Because you're married to Christ. That's why He says, those that seek after a sign, only an adulterous nation seeks after a sign. Because they want to find their reality in the manifestation of stuff, and not in the Word of God. In adultery between grace and the law. That's why I said in the Old Testament, you shall not commit adultery. That's why all those laws was there about purity and holiness. And if somebody would be in adultery, what must you do? You must take the stone them. What is it actually saying? It says, listen, if you go and you're in adultery with the law again, the stone, the ministration of death written on stones will kill you. So if you're married to Christ and you get you in your mind, you want to get become part of the law, it's going to kill your emotions, my friend. Yeah. It's going to kill you. Because that's the ministration of death. You're having a relationship with a corpse. It stinks and it's dead. Making love to a corpse. Isn't it sick? It's graphic, isn't it? But that's what happens. That's why Paul used those things. That's why Paul used those things. Because it's actually, in reality, in God's reality, it's sickening. Let me tell you something. Never think that the system of you must become is holy. It's born out of the enemy of God. It's born from Satan. It's not of God. It doesn't produce any life. The Bible says in the beginning, He says, and I'll bring enmity between your seed and her seed. He will bite you on the heel. What does that mean? The law always bites you in your walk. Yeah, you've done this wrong, you've done that wrong. But He will bruise your mindset. He'll give you a new mindset. Hallelujah. Speaking about Jesus. And it comes and it says there's enmity between the spirit and the flesh. That's it. What's the flesh? The flesh doesn't just talk about this body. The flesh, the New Testament language for flesh, doesn't speak about sinful nature. It speaks about, go and study it out. It speaks about man's ability. Man being in a place where he's seeking justification by his works. That's what it's when it says flesh. That's why it says, if you are in the flesh, the fruit of the flesh is all these sins. The fruit that comes forth in your life when you seek justification by your works are all these things. But the fruit of knowing that through Christ we are justified are all these things. Against such there is no law. Amen. Not saying we're keeping the law. Saying, man, what manifests here, we're not even thinking of the law. But if you would bring the law, you'll find nothing wrong. But we don't have any relationship with the law. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Jesus, I just want to say this. You know, Jesus said to the Pharisees, John the Baptist, He said, "You brood of vipers, you snakes. Your father's the devil." Why did He say that? Why did He say that? Because the man that was manifesting there, his mindset, what he was doing, came out of the law system. It was born from the serpent of old, which implemented the law. And they were fending for the law of Moses. They were fending for this righteousness by works. And by doing that, they hated grace. They felt it's adultery. Let's stone it. Let's kill it.